Hi everyone, this is Enrico from Data Stories and I'm together again with Moritz. Hi Moritz.
Hi everyone, Moritz here.
Wow, we made it to the second episode.
Yeah, and it's been 2 weeks already, I can't believe it.
Time runs super, super fast. It's crazy. What are you up to?
Yeah, still working on my projects, so I don't have so many news. This week I looked a bit more into interactive pulse, which is quite interesting. So how to visualize, when you ask people a question, like what is your position on this topic or that, and how do you maybe present the results and give them the chance to utter their voices in the same framework? Uh-huh. New York Times did some nice work on that, and we're trying to build something similar. So I've been doing some research on that.
Oh,
but
okay.
No concrete outcomes yet.
Yeah, sure.
How's it for you?
Busy week. We have several deadlines coming soon. We had notifications for Eurovis. Lots of people crying here in the lab, but still we get a quite reasonable acceptance rate. I think we got, how many? 3 or 4 papers out of...
That's good.
Yeah, well, this is conditionally accepted. But you never know, but it's fine.
Yeah. Do you have a paper too?
Yeah, I have one reject and one accept, and but it's conditional and pretty much borderline. And I hope we will manage to have a... finally accepted paper. I hope so.
Okay.
Usually it's the case, but you never know.
Okay.
Well, we got a lot of feedback.
Absolutely.
I mean,
overall, it was really good feedback, I would say.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
Should we say that?
I think we can say that.
Yeah. Can we say that we don't suck? I'm a little bit disappointed. Nobody really said that we suck.
Yeah, people are scared of us, you know?
I don't know. too positive.
That's true. It's a bit suspicious. Yeah.
It's a bit suspicious.
Jen was the only one, Jen from Data Telling, who spoke up and said, seriously, guys, we need to stop sucking.
Yeah, that was fantastic. That's my favorite comment. I have 2 favorite comments, actually. The first one is from Jen, and the second one is from Ben, who said... you're welcome, gents. I'll send you some suggestions this weekend. You both have such exotic Euro voices. I think we should.
I don't know what he means.
I don't know. What does
he
mean?
Do you know what he means? I don't get it.
I can make it even more exotic if you want. seriously, it's fantastic. No. We should write it somewhere in the blog, right?
Header.
Like a disclaimer. Exotic Euro voices here.
rated R for exotic Euro voices.
Yeah, but what else? I think the most important kind of and recurring feedback we got was that many people feel they would need some visuals together with the podcast, right? Which I can understand, and we've been discussing it before starting the podcast several times. But of course, the problem is that technically speaking, it's a nightmare.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I don't know if these people really get the concept of a podcast, really. Because the concept of a podcast is that it's an audio show, people.
Yeah.
So yeah. Stop whining. No, what we will try is... Yeah, stop whining. No. What we will try is to add some screenshots to the blog post and make clearer, as today, for instance, we actually have show notes on the blog and you can click all the links. And basically the best way to follow the show would be to have our page open while you listen to it and click all the links.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we didn't really make that too clear. But like really making a screencast, a video recording, it's crazy, crazy much work and very hard to concentrate also. If you record a video or a screen grab and talk over it, I've tried that so many times to make that work. And it's really hard to do that over 2 minutes only. And do that over 45. I don't see that happening anytime soon.
Yeah, and it's already complicated enough. I don't know if people understand how much technicalities there are behind that. But please understand that we are trying to do our best and to make it as professional as possible, and doing a screencast or anything similar would be really complicated. Maybe we will do it in the future, but now it's really, I mean, that's the best we can do so far.
Next step is a TV show, I think that's clear.
Without sucking too much.
No, and talking about professional, you might have noticed we have a title music now. And I really like it. That makes it really, gives it that radio feel. And big thanks to Dave Schröder at pilotvibe.com because he made that for us and he's cool.
Yeah.
So thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Yeah. So let's go to the meat.
We have some meat.
I hope so. So we promised we wanted to discuss contests, awards, challenges, and stuff like that, which seems to pop up like mushrooms, right? And so maybe I can start saying something about it, because last week or 2 weeks ago, when was it? I started this whole discussion with a blog post related to the visualizing.org marathon. And I said I was a little bit surprised by who was the final winner of the grand prize, this A-Cube Librium, which, I mean, the concept was really nice, but I was a little bit surprised that from the point of view of visualization design, the final prize was given to a visualization where there was, I think my major concern was that they were using, the main metaphor was a 3D visualization with a cube. And as you may know, 3D...
At that point, you stopped looking, right?
Yeah.
It's like cubes and 3D.
I will be very honest. Yeah, that's the case. I mean, at the beginning, my reaction was very bad. Then, as usual, I mean... Through blogging, I learned that I have to think a little bit more before reacting. So I went back. So I started with a Twitter post. I got some criticism, and then I went back to the entry and trying to read all the explanations, which normally is a bad sign for visualization, right?
If you
you have to read the explanation, it's already a bad sign. Anyway. Yeah. I read through the old documentation. I must say that these guys did a wonderful job in terms of, I mean, they really explain in depth how it works, why they had this idea, what's the metaphor. But in the end, I'm still not convinced. And but I don't want to discuss...
You're right. The end result is not that strong. I don't know.
Anyway.
There is a bit more to it than you might think at first sight when you see a lot of blocks. That's true too.
Yeah, but I think that's not the point. I think the point here is discussing about the relative value and advantages and disadvantages of contests, award challenges. We have any flavor of awards and challenges and contests here, right? And I think... I mean, I really like what these people at visualizing.org are doing is really nice. They are promoting visualization everywhere, and they have been organizing this wonderful set of challenges all around the world. I mean, it's really great. They are really doing a wonderful job in trying to evangelize the visualization around the world. But I don't know. I think that it's the mix of having students who... normally are not, I mean, cannot be as proficient as professionals, and at the same time giving awards to them maybe doesn't really work too well. Because my concern is that people then go back to the web page to see what they are, who received the awards, and then they say, oh, that's the best, right? I don't know.
But I mean, there's so many types of contests, not just in the visualization scene. The question is, what types of... Yeah, what does an award, what is it given for, right? And I mean, it's clear that visualization is not like a 100-meter race where you just measure who is fastest or, you know, best in some absolute sense. It's more like the Oscars where it's always the wrong ones winning. it's at least, you know, there's a jury involved and the criteria often a bit... fuzzy, and so in the end it's often a compromise also what comes out and so on. So I've been on a few juries, and it is difficult to get like five totally different people you know, to at least agree on a set of standards.
Yeah.
To judge after. So you could say that might be the competition's fault for not making the criteria clear also, but I can sort of sympathize with that the contest is not just about the winner, but it's more like having a contest at all and getting a certain discussion going, having some results to show off and so on. So.
Yeah, yeah. But I think there are many ways of organizing contests and challenges. I mean, we have many different flavors, right? We have stuff like, visualizing marathons where the participants are students, they are... they receive a data set and they have to produce results in 24 hours. Then we have other kind of contests where anybody can participate from all over the world. They don't have to be there for 24 hours. They have much more time. Or we have awards that are given to people who don't participate to the award. They just, they're just awarded because they are, some people think they are the best, right? There is a jury and they decided these are the best.
Yeah. But I think we don't have enough of these. So we have mainly these, there's a theme or a data set, and now you have a week and the winner gets a PlayStation. What I was shocked about was to see that the NSF challenge, the National Science Foundation in America, it's big, you know?
It's big.
And, and I was like, wow, they have a visualization contest. That's so cool. I will hand something in. And then I looked at the categories and they had posters, they have games, they have videos. And I was like, yeah, that's really cool. Lots of categories, but there's nothing for interaction. No exploratory data analysis, no interactive data visualization. You cannot hand that in. There is no place for that. I was really shocked.
We should organize a protest.
I did. I mean, it was just me, but I sent like 3 or 4 emails.
And did you get an answer?
Yeah, that they said, that's a pity that I cannot hand in anything because it looks really nice what I'm doing there. And so I was like, yeah, great. Maybe see you next year, but... somehow I doubt it. I don't know.
Yeah. I must say that on the academic side, there is a long tradition of contests as well. And not only in visualization. I mean, you can find contests everywhere. There are famous contests. There is a very famous contest in the area of data mining.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's called the KDD Cup. And it's really impressive what people do there. But in that case, it's somewhat easier because the quality criteria, mm-hmm. it's pretty straightforward. I mean, you can boil it down to a few numbers, right? I mean, it's faster and more effective and they have a mm-hmm. clear way to measure it, then you win.
So, yeah, that's more like the 100 meter race.
Yeah, that's a lot easier, right? I mean, you don't even need any judges there.
No, you can just have
an automatized way of automatizing. Yeah. I think that's the problem with visualization, that you cannot really make it automatic. I mean, maybe it's not the problem. That's nice. I like it that you cannot really judge it that way.
Exactly. I mean, you still have best song of the year, best album of the year, best movie of the year. You have all these, you know, awards and top lists too. You have the Grammys, you have the Oscars. Yeah, sure. It's not impossible.
It's not impossible. Yeah.
But anyways. Yeah. How about the VAST challenge? Have you ever contributed there, or did it ever take part?
Yeah, I did last year.
Mm-hmm.
And before the VAST challenge, there was actually another challenge a few years ago that was dismissed. Which was called, I think, the InfoVis challenge or something like that.
And there is
also a Vis challenge for SciVis. But the VAST challenge seems to be the most successful and promising.
Mm-hmm.
I know some of the people who are behind the challenge, like Catherine Plaisant, for instance, and George mm-hmm. Greenstein. They spent a very long time trying to make it a success and make it a serious thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really, really nice. I mean, what I really like there that people might not know is that this challenge works in a way that they prepare some real-world data with synthetic insights inside.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So I don't remember exactly how they do that. I know it takes a long time. And
but they sort of hide some Easter eggs, sort of. Could you say that? So they
make
sure
exactly.
there is something surprising to find.
Exactly.
There.
So, so I think what is really nice there is that one way to
it's
do
like
it
a
is
treasure hunt. I like that.
Yeah, I mean, in one way you could either come up with a completely synthetic data set, but then it would look fake, right?
Exactly.
So I think the way they do it, they start from real data and then they change it in a way to hide interesting mm-hmm. information to discover there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
make
very
it
much targeted to discovery, okay?
Nice, yeah.
So in a way, you can say that in this way, you can have this kind of evaluation that is similar to the KDD Cup, where you count the number of insights that have been found by a team, and then mm-hmm. you judge according to the number of discovered insights. But that's not the way they do it. And I think it's really nice. I mean, of course, they count the insights, but another mm-hmm. great thing they do is they involve domain experts in the process. So the people who judge the entries are not only computer scientists or visualization experts, but mm-hmm. also domain experts. So for instance, last year, there was one of the challenges was on security and about flu outbreak in a city, and some of the judges were people who are expert in this field. Maybe some virologist or biologist or people like that. And I think mm-hmm. that's really, really nice. And mm-hmm. I would like to see more of that in any other kind of contest, like end users or domain experts judging the quality of the end product. I think that's mm-hmm. the problem. As long as visualization people will judge the result, it will be very limited, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But what I found interesting there is that the data set is given, and this is that the task is sort of to make the most out of this data set or generate the most insights from that data set. And I think that's something that highlights again maybe the difference between the academic approach and the maybe the more designy or journalistic approach, because there often it would be exactly the task to find also an interesting data set or to combine two data sets in an interesting novel way. You know, and this focus on the data set that this one is given, I think that's often an assumption in academia. Like this is nothing we can do about, right? This is is out of our hands. I mean, but we can work on how once you have the data set, how to visualize it and how to structure it and so on.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I always followed the VAST challenge because exactly as you say, it's very well founded and the results are also very deep. So you can really see that some people spent weeks with that data set, you know? So it's really interesting.
Yeah, yeah. And I want to encourage people to participate there as well because it's really nice. And what is really interesting is that you can participate either by using existing tools. So for instance, it's perfectly mm-hmm. fine to take Tableau, explore mm-hmm. the data and submit something that comes out of Tableau only, exclusively, okay?
Yeah.
As well as creating your own tool from scratch. It's mm-hmm. fine. Mm-hmm. Both cases
and
are
often
fine.
Scientists use it to show off their tools, but then it's also nice because you can compare these tools with one data set because often people, you know, they show their new network visualization with a network you haven't seen before, no chance to understand if it's really good or not. But if people use the same data sets, you get a sense of what is better, what is not so good.
And then what is really nice, I mean, I think that's another interesting point, is that the selected winners, let's say, they are invited to the this week conference and they have some dedicated space for them. They have a half-day workshop at the beginning where they mm-hmm. can meet all together and discuss the results and confront each other. And then they have an open session normally in the afternoon where they present the results to the whole audience of the conference. So it's really, really nice. I mean, it's...
I should take part.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I mean... This is a little bit off topic, but what I always think is that you guys, people like you, Moritz, who are creating excellent visualizations and are working on the design side of visualization, It's really painful for me to go to this week conference and see so many bright people, but not so many bright people coming from your area, designers or consultants or all those people who are very active in the on the web. They have nice projects, they have lots of exposure, but just don't mix up too much with this academic environment. And I think this is bad for both parties, I think.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the eternal issue in the database scene, I think. But you're right, the challenge is there could be a place where you actually meet. And you can nicely contrast the approaches and maybe see that there's something to both of them and so on. So, yeah. Maybe I think once the challenge is out, maybe we spread the word a bit, and maybe a few more external people, let's say from the research community, they would participate.
Absolutely.
Maybe that's a start.
Absolutely,
yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think maybe we could try to invite George Greenstein. He's a very cheerful person.
Yeah.
And it would be really fantastic to have him on the podcast, and I think he would be happy to participate.
Okay. any other contests you found interesting, or
I just wanted to briefly comment Information is Beautiful Awards, because we got the results yesterday. What's your impression?
I think it was really a lot of good submissions in my view. So I was really surprised, because the data set was fairly large, and for me it's always like, wow, when do people find the time to do so much work for free and just for a contest where you win a few hundred dollars possibly. But many people seem to take that chance, and I found some entries really interesting. So what was your impression?
I gave a quick look, and I was also surprised by how many entries they received. And I'm not too surprised by the results. but I mean, I received already too many bad comments on my last blog post, and I want people to kill me again.
What was the bar chart one?
Oh, the bar chart one was the best comment. It still hurts. It still hurts. It's like, that was Jakob Jokman. He said, "For crying out loud, some people believe that you and other visualization people with a statistics background," which, by the way, I don't have. I have a computer science background. only accept bar graphs as valid, and that every chart that is not one goes against a divine dogma."
Yeah, so you're the Stephen Few of data visualization, is that right?
That hurts. That hurts. But yeah, something must have gone wrong along the way. I mean.
See how much fight has been going on already. That if you are being put into that box, you know, you see already how the frontiers are being built up, right? The lines in the sand, they are being drawn. You're either against us or for us.
And I got some pretty strong ones from Andrew as well. we had a long discussion.
Yeah. I think he has more the student's perspective, and this perspective that any contest or any activity where people come together and practice information visualization is good, because it just advances the field by practice, and so I can relate to that too in some way.
Yeah, but let me say, I think there is a way to make bar graphs pretty. Not necessarily if you use bar graphs, it has to be ugly, right? They are extremely powerful. But I'm not that kind of person. I like many other kinds of visualizations. But okay. This hurts. Yeah. But let me say something positive. I mean, there is one entry in Information is Beautiful Awards that I really like. And if you go on the... So there are many, many... I still didn't understand how it works, but I think they gave different kind of awards. And one of these list is called design. I think it's the design shortlist or something like that.
Yeah, there's design. They have design, napkin, and interactive.
Yeah, I haven't seen napkin, but I think it's a very good idea. Anyway,
napkin
I guess
is just sketches, and design is static information graphics, and interactive is like full application. I think that's really strong about this award that it makes this distinction. And I think especially the napkin thing, it draws people in who wouldn't have a chance to submit to other contests.
I think it's a great idea. Great idea.
So
there is one entry that is called Spotlight of Profitability.
Yeah,
which, by the way, I'll try to link on our blog, so people can see it before we will discuss it. And that one, I mean, it's very good. I like it a lot. So I don't know how to describe it. And I don't know, Moritz, do you have a way to describe it? Because it's really hard.
Yeah, it's difficult. But basically, there's for each movie. There's two axes. One is the Rotten Tomato score, which is like, you could say, the critics account running from from 0 to 100. And on the right-hand side, you have the profitability. You have the budget they spent for making the movie, and you have the amount of money the movie generated.
Yep.
So a very profitable movie, you know, you generate much more than you spend, of course. And now they connect these three points, the critics account on the left-hand side, budget spent on the right-hand side, and the revenues on the right-hand side, they connect that to a triangle. And this is something you shouldn't do, probably. You know? Because, you know, it's like, yeah, let's make a triangle. So that's sort of also the fun part of this visualization. But together it creates this really unique shape for each movie. It's a triangle that has a certain area and a certain, let's say, rotation. And you can read these two values pretty well.
Yeah. So let me suggest something. So if you are listening to the podcast right now, my suggestion is to stop here, go on our webpage and try to find the link. We will put it on top so you can see the image, Spotlight on Profitability, before we continue discussing it.
Makes sense.
It makes sense. So no complaints allowed from this point on. Yeah, I really like it. I mean, it's a strong case of small multiples as well.
Yeah, so you have lots of movies, lots of little movies, and you little glyphs for the movies, little graphic symbols, and you can compare them pretty well.
Yeah, and you know, I must confess that I have a deep love for glyphs. I don't know. Every time I see a glyph, they are so informative. When they are used in a proper way, they are so informative. And
it's really the types of graphics where you can sit down and study them, right?
So you sit down
and you try to find, okay, what jumps to my eye first, and what's this pattern, and what's going on over here? There's nothing over here. Why is nothing over here? You know, so these are really like a map. You can study these graphics for a long time.
I think that's the real reason why I like it so much, because it makes me want to see more, to investigate more. I want to see, I can see some broad patterns. Now I want to see the details, and now I want to compare one glyph to another and discover new things. It's nice. Yeah. And there is this big outlier from Avatar, which is on the bottom in the center. It's really nice. You can see it. It's very evident. Yeah. And then you can see all these
huge profits, right?
Yeah. Huge profits, yes, huge profits. Mm-hmm. And then you can see all this documentary, which have very narrow profits.
And it's getting worse over the years. So left to right, you see also the trend over the years. So it's bad and it's getting worse. So that's the story for documentaries.
Yeah. One thing,
animation movies, I underestimated these. You can see that immediately.
What I cannot see is let me see. I cannot find any slope in the other direction, which would be nice to see, like rated with a low score, Rotten Tomatoes score, and a high profit. Probably there exist these kind of movies, but they are not, because in each cliff the top three have been selected.
They picked
so
the
you
top
can,
profitable movies.
It would be nice to have the opposite, right?
Yeah.
So the lowest score and the profit. That would be really
and
nice.
And there's of course an obvious question for the scale of these two. You know, whenever you align two scales, you have to be really careful of how you align them with each other. And I think there's a problem here because I think the budget should have been made logarithmic again. I mean, it's not even indicated if it is or not.
Yeah.
And I think the axis should be centered around the median value. So you can really see, you know, not so you can really see that a horizontal line means average or median on both sides. And and whenever the slope changes, that it's relative to how the rest of the data looks. Mm-hmm. So this would be something probably I would criticize, but that's really like, it's already so beyond of what you would normally criticize. So it's a really strong graphic, I think.
Yeah.
No, it's an excellent piece. So I hope it wins. Go, Spotlight!
Yeah. Is there a way to vote?
I don't think so. I mean, you cannot have like arbitrary people from the internet decide what's good, right?
Why not?
Because that would be the end of the world. No, I think there's a jury or something. There's a jury, of course. Yeah.
It's too democratic.
Yeah. No, and otherwise you have like everybody mobilizing his funny Facebook friends to vote for him, and things get out of hand if we don't want that.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, I think it's interesting that if you compare the interactive shortlist with the design shortlist, I mean, I'm surprised, but I tend to like more the design shortlist.
That's a shocker.
That's a shock for me. I don't know.
Interesting. I haven't looked at all entries in detail. It's really a lot of them. So
yeah,
okay, this one looks nice, this one too. So probably we should take our time and click through all of them. In principle, it's nice that you have this chance to compare all these visualizations of the same data set. So
yeah.
A lot to learn there.
Yeah. So I think, do you want to say anything else about this contest? I don't know, words? I think
it's, I mean, pros and cons. I think last time we were a bit critical about the contest, and last year was definitely too many contests. And for a while, it looked like that everybody and their dog would make a data visualization contest just to hop on the train, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I think now, this year, to me, it seems that the few contests that are still around, or, you know, now that the big wave has maybe passed, then I'm fine with having lots of contests because it's very nice for people to get started, and it's entertaining for us to see the entries, so nothing bad about that.
Are you scared that you're going to have too many competitors on the market?
Oh yeah, there's so many people coming up, so I have to run a bit faster. Yeah. But as long as they waste their time on contests, I'm fine.
Good point.
So let's keep them going.
Let's create more contests.
Exactly, just to distract people. Yeah. One thing I'm a bit fed up, I mean, I was a bit frustrated with some contests because they ask for a lot and then give you like $300 or so, you know, or you're invited to some arbitrary place or so.
Yeah.
So then I often think, okay, this doesn't really value the work that goes into something like this. Yeah. And what I see much and more, and this might be a consequence of that, is that I get requests for proposals where people say, we have a potential job. Would you like to, you know, where you could work as a contractor? But listen, can you make like 2 or 3 data visualizations for us first so we can figure out if you're the right person? No, really.
Really?
Yeah. So I had this request where people, they wanted to have 10 to 20 ideas based on their data sets and one fully executed graphic with zero pay, and they sent that out to 10 people or so. And then they would say, yeah, this one looks nice. We might consider working with him. And I'm like, wow, this is just rude,
but I think this should be balanced with what's at stake there? I mean, are you talking about
It's a long-term contract and probably a big budget.
Yeah,
but
big budget.
Still,
yeah.
But still, you could figure that out, who's the right one to work with, just by looking at the portfolios, or maybe doing a little job with them.
Yeah, sure.
Like one graphic, and then you figure out. But you pay them for the effort.
Yeah,
I
mean, yeah,
if
yeah,
if
sure.
I deliver 10 or 20 ideas, that's consulting. That's what I do. You know, that's what I do for a living. You know, not in my spare time. I'm sorry. Yeah, and so... There might be a problem there with, you know, if we have too many, like, for free or for fun competitions that people think it's something you do in the afternoon, like, when you're bored, you make a little visualization. But, I mean, of course, it's hard work, yeah?
Moritz, I managed to let you go into a rant.
Probably you even tracked me into it.
Yes, of course. I've been thinking about it for the last 2 weeks.
Very good. Mission accomplished.
Yeah, accomplished.
Check.
Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I'll get you next time, buddy.
Yeah, be ready.
Yeah.
Prepare well. Okay, I think it's enough for today. We've been talking for around 1 hour.
No way.
No way, yeah.
Damn it, yeah. No, it's 36 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. The first 20 minutes we weren't recording, so that's fine. But it's still, yeah, you're right. I think we're good here. We will try and document it well on the blog post. Go to the website. I mean, now it's too late again. So
now it's too late, yeah.
Mentioned that in the beginning. And just send us comments. What do we do next time? Do we have an idea yet? Not really. Huh?
So what we can say is that we, of course, made a list out of the suggestions you guys sent to us.
Lots of good stuff. Yeah.
Lots of good stuff. Thanks a lot. And there are some technical things and some more, I don't know, deep thinking kind of things. And I think a lot of people also want to know more about how to learn InfoVis, how to teach InfoVis, what kind of courses and material are out there. This could be nice. I don't know.
Yeah. So we could think along these lines, because you're right, this was really a recurring comment to help people to get started or discover like the really interesting tools and some practical tips maybe. So... we might look into books on the topic. Well,
yeah.
Or present some tools, papers, findings.
Yeah. Please send us more comments and let us know what you want to hear from these two crazy guys and these exotic Euro voices. We should make a t-shirt.
Yeah, probably. Makes me very self-conscious now that I have to think about my Euro voice too much.
Can you make it more German?
Yes,
can make
of course.
More Italian. Let me try. Of course. No. Oh, I cannot make it. next time.
Once
I
you
promise.
Think,
next time.
We practice our Euro voices.
Yeah, next time.
Next time I'll go with a Bulgarian accent, maybe.
Okay.
I hear that's very fancy these days.
Yeah, another thing I want to say is that we are also planning for having some guests. And if you have more suggestions about who you would like to have here as guest,
please you can also suggest yourself. That's fine.
You can suggest yourself. Some people did it also, already, which
exactly.
is really
so,
nice.
Yeah.
And what's the biggest name we can invite, Moritz?
Big names?
Yeah. If you can choose one.
One I would really like to have. And he's still alive and everything.
Yeah, of course.
That's a good question. I'll think about that for next time. And we should just write them an email, right?
Yeah, let's
because,
try.
Because, I mean,
try.
You can't lose. Yeah?
Is it you who are followed by Eduard Tafti?
Tafti follows me on Twitter, so that's a good start.
You see?
So maybe he is too low-hanging fruit. Maybe we should
maybe it's too easy.
Barack Obama. Or
I agree. Let's see. But again, if you have any suggestions, please let us know. You can dream big and let us know who is the biggest name you would like to invite here at Data Stories. I think it's enough, Moritz.
I think we're there, absolutely.
It was fun as usual.
Yep.
I hope people will listen to it for the whole time.
Who knows?
And I hope they will give a look to the visuals before listening. And yeah, that's all.
Yep. See you soon. Or see hear you soon, actually.
Hear you soon. Okay. Bye-bye. Have fun.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.